Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys each and every Saturday morning on 107.3 WBBL. We're going to get your grill on, create a little grill envy. Good morning. I'm Randy.
I'm Bob.
Hey, good morning, Bob. It's good to be here. Hey, we've got a busy segment coming up. We've got a little recipe for everybody. Let's jump right into that. What we've got is a tuna steak recipe. Tell me about that.
Well, I love tuna. I lived in Hawaii for about 4 years, used to catch a bunch of it and learn to eat it raw. I love the way like the Flat River Grill does it and some of these Gilmore restaurants do it where they just lightly sear the outside and you're basically getting a nice piece of raw tuna. If you can get a nice fresh piece, and I know, again, I like shopping at Forest Hill Foods. They have some wonderful fresh seafood. If you know of a great place for fresh seafood around here, send us an email because we're still on a quest for good seafood.
Yeah, that email, we're at thegrillingguys.com, and you can have Barbecue Bob at The Grilling Guys or Jop at The Grilling Guys, J-O-P, either one. Shoot us an email and let us know where if you have a great place where you buy fresh fish because, you know, one of the biggest issues that we have when we're grilling is starting out with quality ingredients. And if you start out with a subpar ingredient, you're going to end up with a subpar product. And at the end of the day, we're all trying to do the best we can. But anyway, so Bob, what's this tuna look like?
Well, I wanted to mention that if you're going to post a comment, our website is really a blog. So you can go into about any category and post a comment. We'll get a notification and we'll get right back to you on that. So
okay, great.
We monitor that every day. But I will take like about a 1-inch thick tuna steak. And I'll get maybe 4 to 6 of them, and I'm going to marinate them overnight in a Ziploc bag. And that marinade is going to have like a cup of tequila. I'll take a couple of limes and squeeze them, and I'll throw the whole lime in the bag. And I'll put a teaspoon of cilantro in there, and I'm going to keep about a quarter of that out for basting when I'm grilling. But sometimes I'll even throw a little sea salt in there. The recipe I used to use didn't call for it, but a little sea salt when I'm grilling the steaks is good. So I'll marinate them overnight, and then I'll pull them out, and I'll throw them on a good hot grill for maybe a couple minutes on each side, depending on how you like them. Mm-hmm. They're only 1 inch thick. They'll cook really quick.
Right, and don't most people, I mean, some people really like their tuna rare,
really?
But others will want it cooked completely.
Yes.
I know, like, my wife, I enjoy it rare. My wife, she'd much rather have it cooked all the way through. The cool part about tuna is it does cook pretty even,
yep,
because the fillet is the same thickness, and you can watch the edge, and it'll get white on the surface, and then the white will kind of draw toward the middle, and the pink will go away.
Yep.
But it's very important not to overcook your tuna, because if it's done correctly, it's a little bit steaky, right? It's a little bit more firm of a fish,
yep,
in a steak consistency. But if you do it too long, it gets rubbery quick.
You've ruined it.
Right. So you got to, and this is not something that you really do with a thermometer. It's
no.
More you do it with your eye. So
you touch it.
Right.
You got to put your finger on it and do the old chef trick of just feeling the firmness of that thing. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys on 107.3 WBBL. And we're here every Saturday morning. We're trying to help the world become better grillers.
Create a little grill envy in, yep, your backyard, man.
And we have nothing better to do on Saturday morning. So rather than sit on our decks and grill, we come down here and basically try and brag about our grill skills. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Exactly. Hey, you know, speaking of grill skills, I ran across a little gadget. Last week we were talking about all the foods for the basketball games that were going on, and I had a problem with a skewer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I struggled with that word, but a skewer is a stick, if you will, that you put meat on, and what it does is it allows you to mix a few different kinds of foods together, and often those are called kebabs, right? Not Barbecue Bob, but kebab. And a lot of times when you use the bamboo skewers, they'll burn up.
I just want to know.
What?
Did you, like, have anything to drink?
Not a bit.
Okay.
Not a bit
just
this
curious.
Morning. It's just bamboo and
Saturday,
skewers.
It might be like a Bailey coffee Saturday.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Okay.
Not today. Yet. But the KitchenAid makes a little gadget that goes on your grill. You can find them online. I noticed there that they sell them at Target even. But what it is, it's a little grate with 6 of these metal skewers that you can run the food on, and that way they don't burn. And because one of the problems we have with the bamboo is that if you don't soak it in water, you forget to do it, you're hurrying, whatever. You put the food on there, and the bamboo catches on fire, and your kebab becomes five pieces
of
individual
also,
meat.
I have a bunch of those metal skewers. What also works nicely about those is some of your vegetables want to split when you put that wooden skewer through there.
You're right. They do.
The little metal ones are thin blades, and they slice right through. Like, I do a lot of kebabs. The peppers and stuff tend to want to just... mushrooms especially. So that metal skewer, that's a great point. That metal skewer does a super job.
Yep, and you can even oil it up a little bit. Just rub a little olive oil on it or something, and the meat then slides back and forth. It doesn't get stuck on there. And
that's right.
And the vegetables the same way because, you know, I'm fond of my portobello mushrooms.
And oiling things up.
Yeah, all together. And it makes things taste better.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm with you. So try that tuna recipe. It's great. Tequila and lime always work with like about anything.
Yeah, they do.
Can you
go wrong with that? Can you go wrong with that at all?
Well, you have to use it on the tuna though. So don't forget that quarter of the content that you kept out, you baste your tunas as you're grilling them.
Right.
Get a little silicone basting brush and keep just dousing them, drown those suckers.
A silicone basting brush, that may sound like something from like an auto parts store or something, but it's
not.
It
looks like it, too.
Yeah, it's a little rubbery brush. The little bristles on the brush are made of silicone rather than of some other material. And what it does is it grabs the sauces real good, but it's easy cleanup. So we're always about the easy cleanup side of this stuff. So if you don't have a silicone brush, you ought to go out and invest in one. They're $7 or $8. It's not a big deal.
I think you can use like a little squid too. It'll work.
Yeah, right. But it adds a little flavor though, maybe that some people wouldn't like.
Garama.
Yeah, all of that. All of that.
So right now we are going to shoot over to Marshall, Michigan to the Dark Horse Brewing Company. And we're going to chat with Brian Wiggs, who's the brewer. Now, I need to tell you, I was down there Sunday on my way back from, I was down in Hillsdale Saturday night.
Taking one for the team, doing a little R&D on Sundays.
I did. I picked up a cue from you because, you know, you're so good at R&D that I'm going by the Marshall exit and I'm thinking, okay, this is my chance.
Right.
I have to stop. I never get to Marshall.
Yeah.
What a cool town for one thing. Great little civic center. But more importantly, Dark Horse Brewing Company, crazy place.
Yeah, you know, I've not been there, but what I did witness firsthand was when we had the beer festival up at Fifth Third Park there, they had the longest line all day long.
It's a cult.
Yeah, and these the four or five guys that were there were, best I can describe, as ZZ Top looking dudes. They all had beards about down to the middle of their belly, and
Brian Wiggs is on hold, and he's listening to you, so be careful. He's much bigger than you.
Yep, I did meet Brian, but so good.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys on 107.3 WBBL. Every Saturday from 9 to 11, my name is Bob, and I'm here with Randy.
Good morning, Bob. How are you today?
Hey, well, we're having fun. We're talking all things grill.
You bet.
Whether it's beer, whether it's kegerators, whatever it is, it has to do with grilling.
You know, baseball season, as we mentioned, is coming up, and we got a couple openers here in the next week or two, and I was surfing around the net a little bit, and there's some really cool grills out there that are actually made to look like a baseball. I mean, it's a novelty thing, you know, I get it, but you can get it with your own team on them, and, you know, they're not that expensive. They're, you know, $99 for a little charcoal grill.
Which means it won't grill properly.
Well, yeah, probably, but I mean, you know, it's a novelty thing for a tailgate or whatever. But it's kind of cool to see that kind of stuff out there.
Sure.
You know, maybe show your team spirit with your backyard grill covers, tools, that kind of stuff that all have the logos on them.
You know, when I was at the national show here a few weeks ago, I know a lot of people have Kamado cookers, Kamado Joes, Primos, stuff like that. And they are now coming out with some really sweet-looking carts that you can put these. They look like a giant avocado, basically. It's a big ceramic Kamado-style cooker.
Uh-huh.
And some people are into that. And the biggest problem with them is they give you this cheesy little metal cart that will, like, basically tip over or fold up on you if you're not pushing it carefully because they weigh a couple hundred pounds.
Yeah, so I was going to say, those Kamado grills, I have one, actually. It's one of the several grills that I keep, And it's got some very unique properties to it. It's made out of ceramic, and the ceramic is about an inch thick all the way around. And what that does, common ones that people have seen, they're called a green egg. Maybe you've seen those. There's a lot of brands on the market, but they do. They look like a big egg, or not, like you said, an avocado. And you get a fire going in these things, and the way they're set up is you can control the temperature, geez, right about 3, 4, 5 degrees. It's amazing with the airflow on the bottom and the venting on the top that you control that, and you can really dial in your temperatures, which is great for slow cooking, and that's really what these things are for, right?
Yeah, and the devices that I'm seeing out there now are big tables with a round hole. There's, you slide the thing down in it, and you've got all of a sudden drawers and cabinet space and stuff. So you can roll that beast around without feeling like you're going to crack your $1,000 cooker.
Yeah, and remember that anytime you put a grill in a cart, you need to leave air circulation around the grill, because while you're building the fire in the grill, the cooker itself gets hot to the touch. And you don't want anything flammable up against that. So just make sure, go on the internet, buy a plan, pick one up that is a plan that's been tested and people have actually tried to use, because you don't want to try to put this thing together yourself. It's heavy and it also gets very hot.
You know, I tried cooking this week something called a loin ball tip.
A loin tip ball or a loin ball tip?
Well, I had to dig the wrapper out, because after I ate it, I was so shocked at how good this thing was. It was something one of my family members, it was a loin ball tip, and somebody just brought it home, and so I did the typical deal. You know, it was a lean-looking piece of meat. I put some olive oil on it. I put a little, this time I played around with some Italian blends, and I did a little onion powder, and then I did some Lowry's and some fresh ground black pepper, and I threw that thing on my Tech infrared grill. And
again, that's probably at a very high temperature,
right? It was, yep. You're probably 1,000 degrees. And I seared that for about a minute and a half, did a quarter turn, seared it again. My grill marks were amazing. They were beautiful. I was very happy with
that. One of the only things you do in your life that's symmetrical, I'm sure.
And then I flipped it over after maybe 3 or 4 minutes, did the same thing, cooked it for 2 minutes, quarter turn, and then I turned it down. These things were like an inch and a half thick.
Wow.
I turned it down to about 250 degrees for the last 10 minutes and just shut it off and let it coast. I'm telling you, my family went nuts. I had to pull that wrapper out of the garbage and see what the heck I cooked.
Well, the cool part was, too, is that this is part of an affordable grill. And what I mean by that is that wasn't
$3.99.
Yeah, it wasn't an $8.99 a pound cut of meat. And so what'd you do to make it tender?
I think, God already took care of that for me. I didn't have to do a thing.
Okay.
It was beautiful.
Great.
But the Tech helps. I mean, 100% infrared is a huge deal.
Right.
And if you've never tried it, you got to try it. I'll put one on your deck one of these days.
And it's the high heat. Yeah, I'm more of a charcoal guy, as you know. I do have a gas grill, I'll admit, but I much prefer the charcoal, and it is just the way I roll. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to 107.3, we're the Grilling Guys, each and every Saturday morning. I'm Randy, and I'm here with Bob, and we're running through a bunch of stuff that you've got to do to get ready to get your grill on this spring. You know what? I think Mother Nature is going to cooperate. May not be today, but she's going to. So stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grilling Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.